Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. Thank you so much for joining us. Miss Fanny seems to be in a little bit of trouble. That's right. The Department of Justice confirming the claims of a whistleblower that Fannie Willis in the Fulton County District Attorney's Office mismanaged, improperly spent federal funding. That's a big deal. Not only that, but we have some news about a popular kids' food that might be in your fridge. O.J. Simpson, on his last ride, his last trip on the Bronco. Jack Smith saying he might be defying Supreme Court orders. And Hillary Clinton rears her ugly head once again. So do me a favor, if you haven't been in the chat for very long and you haven't hit that button, the like button, please do me a favor. You might have even been here for a while and you just haven't hit the like button yet. But I submit this to you. If you're one of those people who comes here every single day and you know you enjoyed the show, then just hit the button. Sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red, because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you're having a lovely day. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm super excited to tell you guys what's happening in the world this afternoon. I want to say, first of all, thank you so much to Lou Ann V, who says, Happy Friday Eve, everyone. Thank you for the phone, Lou Ann. And I also want to remind you, if you didn't hear me say this yesterday, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, we have a special Friday edition of Red Pill News Live. It's going to be the world premiere of my behind-the-scenes documentary about the very first showing of the Flynn movie. And General Flynn is actually going to be joining us at the top of the hour. Yeah, or is it the bottom of the hour? I don't know which. He's at 5. General Flynn will be here with us at 5. I'm going to get his thoughts on the event as it's played out so far. How did he think that the premiere went? How has the continued showings after that? How have they gone? And then we're going to segue into that documentary that I put together. Scott, is that Scott LF? I'm sorry. I need new glasses, man. I'm having trouble reading this. Zach, you have to get Judy Mikovits on to interview. Fauci had her jailed for exposing him in the 80s. I have actually had Judy on the show a number of times before. It wouldn't be a bad idea to get her back on. If I remember correctly, Judy was on the show when I was still on YouTube. So it was quite a long time ago. This would have been, gosh, I mean, it must have been 2020, could have been 2019. But yes, I'll go ahead and reach out to Judy and see about having her on the show before, or excuse me, having her on the show again. All right. Once again, please, if I can make a personal plea, the way that we get this show on the leaderboard, it's not just views. It has to do with the number of likes. So if I am going to get on the leaderboard, the only way that's going to happen is if every single person watching on Rumble hits that like button. Please do me a favor. It's free. You can hit it if you're on Roku. You can hit it if you're on Apple TV. You can hit it if you're on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer. It's very, very easy. And again, it is completely free. I screwed up when I scheduled the show and I accidentally put it on my Rumble user account, not my Rumble channel. So about an hour ago, I realized it and I switched it to my Rumble channel. So more people would have seen it earlier if I had done it correctly. Unfortunately, I didn't. So with the 1,700 people that are watching on Rumble right now, only 313 of you. Thank you, number one Indiana dad. You're my boy. You're my boy, Blue. 313 of you have hit the like button. One of you hit the dislike button. There's always going to be a couple of assholes out there, isn't there? Opinions. They're like assholes and elbows. Everybody's got one, and you're all entitled to them. I have a very special introduction to today's show. You guys know my friends at Rise Attire, and you also know that I have a musical artist by the name of Hi Rez that I have greatly enjoyed introducing to the audience. He puts together some bangers, to be real, and does some hilarious AI raps with, like, Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson. And he actually, yes, it's Scott LF. You are not blind, okay? It's because it was a lowercase L, so I couldn't be certain, but I am actually going blind, to be perfectly honest with you, and it gets worse every single year. Somebody had mentioned getting LASIK, and I don't know. I got a real weird thing about getting lasers and razor blades that close to my eye. But, I mean, I need new glasses. My glasses are kind of perpetually cloudy because they're all scratched up at this point. And it's just such a headache because I've got astigmatisms, and so they have to make special glasses, special lenses, and it just, you know, it sucks. So anyways, I've been trying to put it off as long as I can, and now, you know, it's probably to the point where I'm just going to have to do it. All right, so yes, definitely be here on Friday, 5 p.m. for the Flynn interview with premiere of the backstage world premiere of Flynn the movie. And then today, right now here, I am going to bring together two of my favorite worlds. That would be the music of Hi Rez and my friends at, say it with me now. Say it with me now. Hang on. Here we go. Let me bring this up. Okay. All right. Let's make sure this works. All right. Yes. Here we go. Bringing together for you my friends at Rise Attire and the music of Hi Rez. So this is Hi Rez's new video. It's called Fact Check. And it was produced by my friends at Rise Attire. So let's take a listen.
The government filled with a bunch of reptiles and a bunch of pedophiles. Fact check, we all know never make it to a trial when trafficking a child. Fact check, you don't want to be scrutinizing the government or you'll be suicided. You and I both know what the truth they hide and when they're using Biden. Fact check, the CIA killed MLK and JFK both. Fact check, the moon landing wasn't real, it was all a hoax. Fact check, Big Pharma putting profits over every single damn patient. Fact check, we all know that birds ain't real, they just government surveillance. Fact check, rap labels been profiting off of the prison system and jails. Fact check, we all breathing chemicals every single day from chemtrails. Fact check, everybody know Michelle Obama a man and never was pregnant. Fact check, we all know that Barack Obama was really born out in Kenya. Fact check, who decides what is real and what is cap? What is cap? Who decides what is fake and what is fact? What is fact? They censor someone that you hate and then you clap, then you clap. But they coming for you next. It's a trap, it's a trap. Who decides what is real and what is cap? What is cap? Who decides what is fake and what is fact? What is fact? They censor someone that you hate and then you clap, then you clap. But they coming for you next. It's a trap, it's a trap. Come on, man, the earth is flat, it's not round. Fact check, Bush knew them towers were gonna get knocked down. Fact check, Alex Jones been right with everything he said. Fact check, Tupac alive in Cuba, man, he isn't dead. Fact check, we've been overseas killing kids with drones. Fact check, MK Ultra failed, Kanye West a clone. Fact check, the government spying on you in your home. Fact check, they tracking all of us on every single phone. Fact check, humans didn't build the pyramids. Fact check, men cannot get a period. Fact check, the West wants to just eliminate our borders. Fact check, this whole agenda is a part of the new world order. Fact check, who decides what is real and what is cap? What is cap? Who decides what is fake and what is fact? What is fact? They censor someone that you hate and then you clap, and then you clap. But they coming for you next. It's a trap, it's a trap. Who decides what is real and what is cap? What is cap? Who decides what is fake and what is fact? What is fact? They censor someone that you hate and then you clap, then you clap. But they coming for you next. It's a trap, it's a trap.
I absolutely love it. I shared the Twitter link so that if you're not following Rise Attire or High Res, you can follow that link. You can actually share the video. You can follow both of them. And it looks like my good friends at Rise Attire were in the audience as well. And they also shared the direct link, which I think was to a YouTube video. Good luck with that staying online. Let me just make sure. Oh, no, he shared the Rumble link. Good, good, good. For some reason, I thought it looked like a YouTube. All right. So I love that song. I love that song. And Rise Attire, you guys did a great job putting that video together. It is chef's kiss. Absolutely perfect. Totally perfect timing. Absolutely love all of it. And I also need to say happy birthday to Cass Ass Rumble 29. Look at that. It is your birthday, young lady. Oh, I don't know how old you are. Justice 7777 says their birthday is on Sunday. But yes, also thank you to Rad Ozzy, who says, this is for the RP78 Glasses Fund. Thank you always, brother, for your dedication. God bless you and yours. You guys want to hear a cool story before we continue? Back when I was on YouTube, there was one night where we were doing a live stream. I was taking calls, and somebody in the chat basically told us that they were a 15-year-old kid and they had found the channel and they just wanted me to know, like, how big of an impact I had on them and that they were really appreciative of the information. Well, I think shortly after that, I got booted off of YouTube. I never knew what happened to that kid. His name was Richard. Anyways, yesterday, on Twitter, if you're not following somebody and somebody messages you, it goes into a separate inbox. And like, I don't see it because there are so many of them that come in. Well, I had happened to go in there yesterday and I saw that Patriot Mike, I don't know, Mike, if you saw the message, he had written me a couple of messages. I had written him on email, and so I wasn't looking for him to send a message on Twitter. I just happened to go in there and see that he had messaged me, and I responded to him. And then as I was in that special inbox, Richard wrote me. So here we are 3-4 years later, and he was like, you know, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm doing good and that you're doing God's work, basically. So anyways, I thought that was really, really cool. He hasn't even watched the show because he didn't know where I was, and he just happened to come across me on X. And so now he's going to call in on Saturday night, and we're actually going to catch up with him. And I just thought that that was so cool. You know, I mean, the idea that that the work I'm doing is actually having an impact, that's pretty much the only thing that I could ever ask for. You know, I've always wanted to know that I was making a difference, because otherwise, what's the point? You know, it's like I'm just showing up so I can hear myself talk. I mean, that's not what I want to do. And when I started doing this on YouTube, you know, back in 2018, my point was to be a fulcrum point, you know, a sort of counter lever to the propaganda narrative of the mainstream media. They were liars, and I wanted to do whatever I could to get the truth out. And I knew that I could break the YouTube algorithm, and I did. And then here we are now. And we're on these other various platforms. So I'm happy to be here, and God has put us on this path together, I truly do believe. So listen, I'm looking forward to hearing from you, Richard. Thank you very much for reaching out, and happy birthday to anybody out there who is celebrating a birthday. So I thought that this was pretty funny. It looks like the Department of Defense has put out a brand new alert to their employees. Here we go. Department of Defense, stop going on dates with this man. James O'Keefe wears glasses as disguise, records conversations, ruining everything. Not even gay, won't put out. Obviously, this is a meme, but the spirit of this is absolutely hilarious, and it's so true. This looks like Dr. Fresner actually created this one. But this is from like a real, well, it looks to me to be a real, an OPSEC awareness alert that you might get if you were at the Pentagon. And clearly I think that they're going to be warning people not to go on Tinder or on Bumble or whatever the other ones are. Grindr. That's the one. That's the one for gays. So, yeah, obviously, if you're working in some various agency within the federal government, probably not a good time for you to go on Grindr. But here's the thing. We know they can't help themselves, don't we? I mean, like, there's no stopping it. They're not going to let a little thing like getting exposed or James O'Keefe being able to blow their spot up. They're not going to let a little thing like that stop them. So, yes, I'm also kind of interested to know if anybody out there has joined the American Swiper Project over there at O'Keefe Media Group. Oh, look at James. He says, is this a real memo? No, it's definitely not a real memo, but I think that it's clearly within the spirit of what the federal government is telling its employees right now. No matter who you are or where you're at, be careful, because James O'Keefe and O'Keefe Media Group are coming for you. All right. So I saw this and I just about fell over, about died. So I'll show you the picture in just a second. But the Navy posted a notice on their public social media accounts. And in this notice, there was a picture of a commander shouldering a rifle and taking aim and shooting it. Well, here is a picture of what someone using a rifle correctly looks like. Okay. You can see here, look at the scope. There's a front and a back to the scope. All right, so that when you look through it, it's magnified on the other end, and it helps you to find your target and to shoot perhaps a little bit more accurately. This is the picture that this is the picture that the Navy posted, which show. Okay, so first of all, look at where he's got this foregrip. Okay, the grip is in a completely unusable situation, an unusable position. That grip is supposed to be much, much closer to the end of that barrel. You've got this whole portion with rails on the top, bottom, left, and right. That's where that grip is supposed to go. But he's got it all the way back to the mag, which means that you can't grip it properly. So it's totally useless. But not only that, he's got the scope on backwards. He's looking through the wrong end of the scope. This, my friends, this is what the U.S. military is sending out right now. Look at this. So funny. What's even funnier is that this went through a series of reviews at the Navy, probably through the DOD too, and nobody thought to check this guy on the way he's using his scope. Nobody said, wait a second, that thing is backwards. Why is he shooting through it backwards? It doesn't make any sense. And you can see there's shells that are popping out, so he's definitely shooting. But, I mean, you would also think that him looking through this scope and using it to find his line of sight, that he would say something doesn't look right. You know, why is everything smaller? It's not getting bigger. So anyways, the Navy got roasted on social media. And this is the takeaway. We are going to lose a major war because if our soldiers don't know how to shoot, they don't know how to do something as basic as put a scope on in the correct direction, then we are going to be in a really disadvantageous situation if, for some reason, we find ourselves needing to actually fight. So, yeah, here it is. We're going to lose a major war. How could this have passed muster by any Navy personnel? Scope backwards, foregrip in an almost totally unusable position. Entirely ridiculous. My 6-year-old grandson knows better than this. Wow, what a laughingstock we've become. Another DEI genius. Only thing missing is his skirt and heels. And I think that that's obviously correct. So this is the U.S. 7th Fleet Area of Responsibility. It was taken on the 24th. It's a photo of Petty Officer 3rd Class Kevin Tang on the USS John McCain, the USS No Name. So, yeah, big, big L for these guys. Not too good. Not too good at all. All right. So this is clearly a distressing story for anybody who eats Lunchables. But if you're a parent and you're serving Lunchables to your children, I hope that this gives you pause. Let me first of all say you should not eat Lunchables, okay? Because Lunchables are overly processed food products. I don't know that you can even call them food. It's a bunch of packaged things that are full of empty calories and very, very little nutritional value. And they come in this, you know, highly processed package where you open it up and it's going to allow you to eat it quickly, maybe throw it in your backpack, pop it in your lunchbox, and there you go. Number one Indiana Dad says probably an officer. Yes, you know, you're not wrong there. You're not wrong there. Well, unfortunately, if you are a person who's eating Lunchables or you're serving Lunchables to your children, a brand new study from Consumers Reports has revealed that these products contain an enormous amount of lead in their prepackaged meals. They tested 12 Lunchable products in a study, and they discovered that 5 of those products contained 50% more lead than California legally allows to be in that food. Now, parents have been serving Lunchables to their children for decades at this point. I mean, not just lunch, sometimes for breakfast, quick dinners. But Consumer Reports and this latest revelation make it pretty clear that that's something that you need to reconsider, not only to feed your children, but to feed yourself. Prepackaged meals made up of deli meat, cheese, crackers, candy, Capri Suns. This is not real food, and it's not something you should be eating. Andre said, there's no way this is actually real, Zach. If it is, I'm at a loss. No, it's real. It was posted by an official U.S. Navy account. My niece can shoot better than that, and she's never touched a gun. She's also 4. Andre, I looked for an email from you, and I didn't see anything. So if you did send it, then maybe kick it to the top of my queue again, because I didn't see it yesterday. But yeah, it's real. I didn't believe it either. I said, this has got to be a troll. But they posted it on the 24th, not on April 1st. And no, Bullet, it's not an AI-generated pic. It was an official account for the U.S. Navy that posted it on their profile. It was taken down once people drew attention to it. I know it's difficult to believe, but it's true. It's actually very true. So it's not just the lead, though. There are other concerns when it comes to these Lunchables. I already mentioned they're highly processed. Highly processed meats, they have a lot of preservatives in them. A main ingredient in these products has also been linked to increased risks of cancer. And there's nothing that you guys need to do to give yourself a better opportunity of getting cancer. I did an interview with a doctor yesterday, Dr. Bruce Fong, and we spoke specifically about the endocrine disrupting chemicals that are in pretty much everything all around us, in the packaging that Lunchables are produced in the pollution that spills out from manufacturing plants, in the food that we eat, and those endocrine disrupting chemicals. That's what Alex Jones was talking about years ago when he said they're turning the frogs gay. And they really are turning the frogs gay. Now they're turning people gay. Now they're turning people into people who are confused about what gender they actually are. I truly do believe that that all springs from that. I said that like a year ago and somebody said I was insane, but I don't think so. I honestly believe that that's the case. I mean, I'm not just saying it. I mean, it's something that I've looked into for many years. Bullet says, thank you for everything you do. Thank you, Bullets Kill 'em 3. I appreciate that. Love the name. Definitely. Let me see. Cheese and crackers. Yes, cheese, crackers, processed meats, lead, and cancer. So if you're eating Lunchables or your children are eating Lunchables, then you want to stop feeding them Lunchables as soon as possible. So let me see. What else do they have in them? And these are made by Kraft Heinz. Just keep that in mind, because perhaps this phenomenon is not relegated strictly to Lunchables. I mean, that's just what they tested. Who knows what else is in there? There's also high levels of cadmium. So cadmium and lead. Cadmium is a chemical element that is negatively linked to effects on your kidneys. Also on your skeletal and respiratory systems, and it is a human carcinogen. It will give you cancer if you ingest enough cadmium. So there is no safe level of lead for children. That's why they got rid of lead paint, because the threat of children eating paint chips was enough to make them stop using it. This is also why they stopped using leaded gasoline. Although your engines ran better, the lead in the gasoline would get into the atmosphere, and then people would get lead into their bodies. And unfortunately, lead lowers your IQ. It makes people slower. It makes people stupider. So the more lead you have in your system, the more lead is deposited on your brain, and the more disruption you have in your natural ability to think and enjoy the wonders of cognition. So in Lunchables, they also have a really high level of sodium, too. Not everybody cares about that, but they range from 460 to 470 milligrams per serving. That's like a quarter of the amount of salt that a kid is supposed to get in their daily diet. All right, so testing proved Lunchable is better for children than chewing a 38 special. It is. I guess it would be. Yeah. All right, and I just wanted to bow our heads in remembrance one last time. Orenthal James Simpson has just been announced to have died. That's right. At the age of 76, he died earlier today after a battle with cancer. Now, I didn't even know O.J. Simpson was sick, but I will tell you this. He was a proponent of the COVID-19 clot shot. O.J. Simpson definitely got vaxxed, and he was also a rabid anti-Trumper. So do those things have anything to do with each other? Have anything to do with the correlation of him developing cancer and dying very quickly? Poso for Hope says lead blocks radiation and microwaves. And yes, it does, but it's not going to do much good for you if it's sitting on the folds of your brain. If you have like a lead sheet, then, you know, that's good, but you just don't want to eat it. There's a whole bunch of things that are similar like that. But look, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During his time of transition, his family asks that you please respect his wishes for privacy. Well, I mean, he's already gone, so I don't know what they expect from us. News of his cancer first emerged in February, so just a month ago, basically. But nobody said anything. Moreover, he claimed back in 2023 that he had caught some form of cancer, but he believed he had beaten it. Now, O.J. Simpson and his fall from grace is legendary. Everybody here knows exactly what I mean when I'm talking about, you know, running from the cops in the white Bronco. That was a seminal moment in American history. Every single television station in the country and the world poised on that California freeway, watching O.J. Simpson run in that white Bronco. Everybody watched the trial. This was one of the first trials, if not the first trial, that was broadcast on national television. I think it gave birth to court TV. Don Sclater says, put this towards your new glasses. I've been watching you since your YouTube days. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Don. I really, really appreciate it. Andy Pearson says, if the coffin fits, you must obit. That's right. That's right. What's hilarious. That's also one of the most memorable moments of any court case. Look at this. OJ picking up those leather gloves and like, oh, God, it doesn't fit. The gloves don't fit. I mean, they obviously fit. He's got them on. I mean, you want a tight fitting glove if you're going to be holding a butcher knife and stabbing your ex-wife's new boyfriend to death. I mean, you're clearly going to get covered in blood. And the last thing you want is a loose fitting glove. It's got to be tight fitting. But yes, obviously, O.J. Simpson, although he was acquitted of the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, who really wasn't her boyfriend. It was a friend, and he was an employee at a restaurant that she had been hanging out at. Ron Goldman was the other man who was murdered along with Nicole Brown Simpson. And O.J. Simpson was found to be guilty in a civil court of their deaths. Elvira Hancock says, $5 donation challenge. Who will match me or raise me to show appreciation for an OG like Zach? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Chrono says, was OJ evil or was he acutely psychotic for the time frame? Big difference. He should have been convicted, but still, I think that OJ Simpson was a jealous and controlling man. He had a history of domestic violence with Nicole Brown Simpson. I think that he could not be classified as psychotic because he definitely went over there with the intention of murdering them. I mean, he was all prepared. He had all of his stuff. He covered his tracks up. I think that he was calculated in the way that he did it. So I consider that evil. Warrior Mima says, matched and raised you a dollar. Love you, Zach. Thank you, Warrior Mima. I really, really appreciate it. All right, so at the end of the day, even though OJ was acquitted of the murder, it ruined his life, and it controlled every aspect of his life from here on out. I would also say that considering the fact that OJ wrote that book, If I Had Done It, he did an interview, If I Had Done It, they made a video about it. I mean, somebody accused of murder who doesn't commit that murder and get away with it is not going to pour over the details of it and speculate on how it might have been done. I mean, that I don't think so. I think the man was sick. Okay. And he must have had some level of serious mental illness to be able to do something like that and then carry on with his life as if nothing had happened. I think that it's clearly a sick person who engages in behavior like that. But yeah, I would not say he was psychotic, and I would not say that he was not in control of himself at the time that he did. So let's go ahead and watch the reading of the O.J. Simpson verdict, and then we'll move on.
I would caution the audience during the course of the reading of these verdicts to remain calm, and that any if there is any disruption during the reading of the verdicts, the bailiffs will have the obligation to remove
turn
any
this
persons
up.
Disrupting these proceedings. All right, Mrs. Robertson. All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information.
Poor families.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, further find a special circumstance that the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, has in this case been convicted of at least one crime of murder of the first degree and one or more crimes of murder of the first or second degree to be not true. Signed this second day of October 1995, juror 230.
Yeah, so also Andy Pearson says, I already sent a buck. Here's five more. O.J. never found the murderer, did he? No, fun fact, O.J. Simpson never was able to locate the murderer of Nicole and Ron. You would think with all of that time, money, and resources, if there was somebody out there that would have done it, then they would have come across whoever that was. Now, the real issue here was that the L.A. Police Department or the Detective Bureau, whoever it was, they screwed up. They definitely screwed up in their collection of evidence, and they put enough reasonable doubt into the situation to allow for O.J. to get off. And let's be honest, he had great lawyers. Johnny Cochran and who was the other one? Wasn't it Kim Kardashian? Robert Kardashian was the other one. They did a great job defending him. Frey and the Boys says this set back race relations 100 years. It did. It definitely did. I mean, the defense team made it all about race. They knew exactly what they were doing. A lot of people wanted OJ to get away with it simply because he was black. And they thought that it was symbolic of the black America overcoming the oppression of the white colonizers, you know, the people who had previously enslaved them, which is patently ridiculous. I mean, when you murder someone, whether it's the color of your skin is dark or light, you really ought to pay the price. And this set us back in so many different ways. And there was already so much doubt lingering over the Los Angeles Police Department, especially after the Rodney King riots that had happened not long before this. There was a lot of problems that were already in place that just kind of made this perfect storm. But again, at the end of the day, OJ never recovered. He lost his career. He lost everything. He didn't end up dying in prison, but he died in a prison of his own making, so to speak. All right. So thank you very, very much to J2 Dank for the shades. Thank you to Pauly9363 for the phone. Thank you to Dixie for the can. Thank you to 480 who says you have the professionalism of Art Bell and Rush Limbaugh, one of our generation. Thank you very, very much. That to be compared to Art Bell and Rush Limbaugh in the same breath is a high honor. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you to Raisin Kane for the cookie. Thank you to Judy the Lady Pug for the cookie. Thank you to Thick Ray, hashtag the truth is loose, and also dropped another cookie. Appreciate you. Candylicious said, great song. Thank you, Rise. Thank you very much, Rise. Johnny Cuse dropped a fleet. Johnny, thank you, buddy. He says, you definitely have an impact, brother. You are a part of why I'm here, Z. Much love. Thank you so much, Johnny. That's beautiful, man. I'm really, really glad to know that, and I'm honored to be a part of it. Boys Blanc, thank you for the cookie. Thank you, Sean Joe, for the can. Thank you, Filter Dog, for the can. Thank you to Who Cares, who dropped a cookie and said, high five, Zach and Lisa. Oh, Zach, how many sippy cups did you get? I've only got one or two sippy cups, but I'm still using a regular coffee mug. Scott LF says, I call. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you, brother. Tough Life drops some shades and says, I know so many that now have cancer after the jab. Nothing to see here. And then Rise Attire says, thank you so much for playing the video, brother. We love you. I love you. And that video was second to none. Hi-Rez is already pumping out some bangers. And for you to do a collaboration with him, it's incredible. I hope to see some merch that you guys do together as well. And then Johnny Dangerously. Thank you for the can, Johnny Dangerously. All right. So now I'm not so certain what to think about this. I have a preconceived notion, but I thought we could watch the trailer together. There's a fictionalized account of Donald Trump's life called The Apprentice. It's a film obviously made by Hollywood, so I don't think that they portrayed him in a positive light. But it's going to be premiering at Cannes, and it was made by an Iranian-Danish filmmaker. So already it's going to have a couple of points against it. And it is going to be the main event at Cannes in 2024, and it promises a biographical profile of Donald Trump. So here's some things that they're saying about the movie. It stars Sebastian Stan as, it stars Bucky Barnes from from Captain America. Sebastian Stan is Donald Trump as he explores his career as an aspiring real estate tycoon in New York City in the 70s and 80s. It's described as a mentor-protege narrative that documents the start of an American dynasty and tackles themes including power, corruption, and deception. It delves into the relationship between Trump and Roy Cohn. That could be interesting to see portrayed. The official logline goes further, setting out that it is a dive into the underbelly of the American empire. It charts a young Donald Trump's ascent to power through a Faustian deal with the influential right-wing lawyer and political fixer Roy Cohn. Okay, so let's go ahead and watch the trailer, and we can pick it apart afterwards. Oh my God, is this from Robert De Niro? No. Okay, didn't they release? Isn't the trailer here? I could have sworn that the trailer was here. Well, I guess maybe it's not. Hold on. Maybe it's not. Hold on.
Trailer for Trump movie The Apprentice.
Nope, I guess that maybe they haven't released the trailer yet. They've got, I want to see what he looks like as Donald Trump. He's got the walk. So, you know, the thing about it is, I think that there could be a really good film about Donald Trump and about his, you know, ascendancy to a real estate mogul in 1970s and 80s New York. But of course, if it's coming from a mainstream Hollywood studio and an Iranian filmmaker who's probably already got a bit of an axe to grind with Donald Trump, you know, they're not going to. So probably in a couple of years after we've taken over the entertainment industry and put some good quality stuff out there, I think maybe we will get a true life biographical view into the early days of Donald Trump. I would like to see a film where a young Donald Trump comes up, becomes a real estate mogul, and the white hats reach out to him and basically tell him, like, we need you to help save America. And Donald Trump sets out on this journey, working for the good guys, and then eventually risking everything to become president of the United States. And then, of course, we'd have to have him fighting against the deep state. We'd have to have him trying to tackle all of these issues as he's working to save the country. And then, of course, it would end with his triumphant return to the White House, despite the fact that the deep state is still using every tool in its arsenal, the lawfare of the bureaucratic arm of this failed and corrupt state to try to destroy him. And then Donald Trump returns and he saves America. But you know what? We are already living in that world right now. I guess maybe we don't need to see it at all. Patty Joe 63 says, thank you, Zach, for so much going on in the world. Keep the faith. Thank you very much, Patty. God, you know, I could write that. I think I could write this movie. We'll have to I know that there's people out there who used to be in the entertainment industry and they left because they came out as Trump supporters. And there's got to be somebody with money that could finance this for me. I'll do it. OK, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get started writing a script where Donald Trump comes and saves the world and then essentially hands the reins of power back over to we the people. And then together we do the hard work. And then here we go. All right. I don't know. Maybe somebody will write a movie about me documenting all of this at some point in the future. That would be something, wouldn't it? A little bit, surreal. Okay. And, thank you very much to Johnny Dangerously for dropping that can. I appreciate you, buddy. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know that anybody would really care to make a movie about me. That would, it would have to be about Donald Trump. I'll take a part though. Like I'll take a part and be in like a montage of citizen journalists. I think that would be funny. Andre says, have you seen Oppenheimer yet? That was a phenomenal movie. I haven't. It's on my list of films to see. I am fascinated by the life and work of Robert Oppenheimer, so it's definitely something that I've wanted to see, but I just haven't gotten to it. Lisa and I hardly get a chance to watch anything anymore. We had like one show that we were trying to finish, and it's taken us almost a year to the point where we are almost done with it. So, but I'll watch Oppenheimer soon. Who would play Zach? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there's anybody out there who would make sense. I mean, maybe I would get to play myself. I don't know. But I don't know, you guys. Do you have any ideas? If somebody was to play me, who would it be? If we don't live DJT reelection, there. No, you're right. You're right. I don't disagree with you. Did you see Zach dressing like that as he is the press secretary? I've got suit coats, guys. I dress up nice when I need to. Donald Trump Saves the World Movie Fund, MOHAP. Woo, woo, woo. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. I could definitely dress up for the press conferences, guys. I mean, I would have no problem doing that. And I love wearing ties. Like, I love my Trump ties. Not gonna lie. All right. So Corey Feldman is. I think I'm a better actor than Corey Feldman. You know what? I should talk to my buddy, Corin Nemec. Corin is still making movies. He's actually, do you guys know Corin Nemec? He was on the show when, Methods and I were still doing shows together years ago. He was, he's done a bunch of movies. AI would play you. Oh, that's funny. The red jacket, Zach Wargard. You know, it wasn't red. It was black. It was just velvet. So it looked like it. But if Andy Dick is Zach, oh, Fredo, that'd be terrible. If I really actually would love, like a red velvet, like a jacket, like a smoking jacket. I think that would be sweet. All right. So do you guys remember a couple years ago, Stormy Daniels released a letter saying that she never had an affair with Trump? Like when this first came out years ago, I talked about it on the show because I thought, well, this is going to end the whole conversation. But of course, the mainstream media just ignored it. And then Stormy Daniels went on a whirlwind tour and they basically turned her into this, this slutty icon. And she went with this narrative and she sued Donald Trump. Of course, Donald Trump ended up going after her and now she owes him a bunch of money for legal fees. So President Trump yesterday on Truth Social re-released that letter, which essentially says that Stormy Daniels and nobody in this whole sordid affair ever had an affair. Andre says Mike Lindell needs to be the Stan Lee cameo for the movie. Mike Lindell would be the Stan Lee of the Patriot movement. I mean, he's like always walking by in the background. He's an extra in every single scene. So take a look at this. This is from January 30th of 2018. To whom it may concern, over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at the Stormy Daniels. It's funny. OnlyFans wasn't as big back then, so she didn't throw that in there. I'm surprised, actually. But shortly after this, she went on like Jimmy Kimmel or something like that, and they asked her about it, and she pretended like she didn't actually write it, but her publicist came out and said she definitely wrote it, okay? And Stormy Daniels has taken this and run with it because the mainstream media created this culture surrounding the rumor that Donald Trump slept with Stormy Daniels. It's all a bunch of BS. And really, this ought to put it all to rest. But of course, the mainstream media and the bureaucratic deep state are not interested in truth. They're interested in the propaganda. And the propaganda is that Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels had an affair and he paid her off and it was somehow illegal, even though it wouldn't be. People get paid off all the time just to keep their mouths shut. And rich people pay off people all the time so that they will just leave them alone, sign an NDA, and then go about their business. Well, obviously that hasn't happened, and here we are today. It's just another chapter in this long, sordid tale. Thank you again, Two Feathers, for the movie fund. Appreciate that. So are people asking where Methods is? Methods has a website. I think that he's on Twitter, and he's on Truth Social as well. Well, let me take that back. I don't know if he's on Twitter. But he might be. Methods is doing his own thing, and he's just not like out there publicly in the way that he was before. So you can go to his website. It's methodstomadness.com. Fredo says, I wonder if they will deny it is valid since her name isn't really Stormy Daniels. That's actually an interesting idea. I know that Stephanie Clifford, I think that's her legal name, but I don't know if Stormy Daniels was like it, that was her original name, perhaps I should say. Did Stormy Daniels change her name or did she merely use Stormy Daniels as a stage name? I don't know. Dustin Diamond. Oh, PJ, come on, man. Dustin Diamond. The shirts. Is that where you're going with this? Because I don't have the Jufro. I don't have and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean, that's like a term that is often used. But Dustin Diamond has that permed hair. And then he's also a lot scrawnier than I am. But I don't even think he's working anymore, to be honest with you. Okay, so hold on. Let's see. Stormy Daniels' real name. Stephanie Clifford, known professionally as Stormy Daniels. See, I'm glad I got the safe search on. Otherwise, we would have just seen a whole bunch of boobs. Yeah, it doesn't really say whether or not she legally changed her name. Yeah, I suppose it doesn't really matter. They may say that. I mean, that would be pretty obvious. Lou Diamond Phillips? Lou Diamond Phillips? I mean, he's Hispanic. I mean, do I look Hispanic? I don't know. All right. So let's check in with Jack Smith. We've talked about this before. Jake Lang and a bunch of other J6 defendants, they have a court case coming up being considered by the Supreme Court very, very soon. It's going to get to the heart of some of the most, egregious charges these guys are facing, which is that obstruction charge. The case is actually Fisher versus United States, and the issue at hand is 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2. If you take a look at that statute, it says that whoever corruptly alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record, document, or other object, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in an official proceeding, or otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Serter says, maybe the Miz from WWE could play you. I was going to say Justin Bieber. you guys are just having fun now. I don't know who the Miz is from WWE. It's spent a, I used to watch WWF when I was a little kid. I don't even think that's around anymore. All right, so this obstruction charge is what they've also charged President Trump with. The Supreme Court is going to issue a decision likely on Fisher versus the United States this summer. And that decision could put many of these January 6 cases in jeopardy for the federal government. The Justice Department has charged more than 300 of these individuals with that 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2 statute. And there are also two of the four charges that Donald Trump is facing in the D.C. case that are conspiracy to obstruct. So if they make the decision that these charges cannot be used, well, then it's going to be very good for the January 6th defendants. Many of them might get out of jail almost immediately. And then, of course, Donald Trump will not be able to be charged with those statutes as well. However, the issue is that Jack Smith is signaling to the world that he could really give a rat's ass about what the Justice Department, or what the Supreme Court says to the Justice Department. He says he's going to find a workaround for President Trump if those charges end up getting dropped. He claims that the obstruction charges will stand against President Trump because of the alternative electoral certificates that represent documents that were fraudulently used in an official proceeding. However, what Jack Smith fails to mention and what a lot of the people on the left also failed to realize is that these papers were not ordered by President Trump. They were not signed by President Trump. They were not submitted by President Trump. It's a little like blaming Trump for the accounting errors that were in the books at the Trump Organization when he's not the one who made them. He's not the one who actually handled the accounting. Yet they're saying ultimately that it's his fault. Jim Kyle says Nancy Pelosi is in trouble for tearing up the Trump speech. Yeah, actually, to be quite honest with you, since that was an official document that should have been preserved by the National Archives, Nancy Pelosi should be charged with this obstruction charge in the exact same way. So a decision in the favor of Fisher and the other J6 defendants would negate two related charges from the statute against President Trump. And then all of these charges filed by federal prosecutors against the people who were present at the January 6th event would also be in a much better position. So Jack Smith is going to look to see what kind of sidestep he can do around that. He actually argued in a brief that was submitted to the court on Monday. He said that even if SCOTUS deems that the use of 1512 C2 is unlawful, the related charges filed against President Trump would end up standing anyways because they claim that he had something to do with the alternate electors and these papers that were filed. Petitioner asserts that the grant of review in Fisher versus United States suggests that the Section 15.2 C2 charges here impermissibly stretch the statute. But whether the court interprets Section 15.12 C2 consistently with a natural reading of its text or adopts the evidence impairment gloss urged by the petitioner in Fisher, the Section 1512 charges in this case are valid. Smith also wrote that claiming the use of falsehoods or creation of false documents satisfies an evidence impairment interpretation. So Jack Smith is not the only one who is threatening to circumvent the Supreme Court. Matthew Graves in D.C. also fired a warning shot at the Supreme Court about these very decisions, and he said that he's going to look to see what he can do to keep those obstruction charges on the books for January 6th defendants as well. All right, you guys, we have to take a break for the second half of the show. We're going to come right back in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. Hit the like button if you haven't yet. Share the show and sit tight. We'll be right back. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold.
So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel.
Okay, so I see people saying William Shatner. Did somebody suggest Steven Seagal? Steven Seagal is one of the biggest frauds in Hollywood. First of all, the man doesn't know how to fight. He's also careless with the stunt actors in the films that he's done. I think he broke a guy's jaw one time. Maybe he broke a leg. I don't know. He's a bad man. He's also, I think he's in trouble for taxes or something like that. Like, he fled the United States so that he wouldn't have to. Oh, no, it's not taxes. It's crypto. He was running a crypto scam and he got hundreds of thousands of dollars for it. And he skipped the country because the SEC went after him. Somebody else. Yeah. William Shatner. I used to be able to do a William Shatner impression, but I don't know that I could now. But I used to love Star Trek, you know, space, the final frontier. Maybe I'm thinking now this is more like Jean-Luc Picard. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to seek out new lives and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Number two, engage. I think I can do that one. Okay, Freight Awakening, for the Netflix version of the Zack movie, I nominate Samuel L. Jackson. Truth, motherfucker, do you speak it? I love it. I absolutely love it. Yes, Vector, oh, you would be a huge Trekkie. Lieutenant Data can play Zach. I think I have a little bit more emotion than Data. But anyways, yesterday, Tucker Carlson did a really good segment. And he is once again saying exactly what we've all known for a very long time. Snowcat Operator, thank you very much for that support over there on Ko-Fi. Appreciate you, brother. And he said what we've all been saying for a long time, that now for the third time in a third consecutive election cycle, we've got the federal government, the deep state intelligence community coming after President Trump, trying to rig our presidential election. In their minds, they are fortifying our democracy. In our minds, they are rigging the election. So I continue to appreciate the work that Tucker is doing, because obviously, there are many people out there who simply would never see my show. They would never watch it. They would never know anything about it. But it is highly likely that they're going to see Tucker Carlson, because he's just one of the biggest conservative personalities out there. And he is a lot more red-pilled than he used to be. And I know that many people are going to say he's a plant or whatever. I don't see him doing things that are hurting the conservative movement. I only see him doing things that are positively moving the same issues we've been talking about for a long time forward. So I just wanted to say that that was totally worthwhile. And I hope that Tucker continues to wake people up. And as a result of waking people up, that they eventually find my show. In order for them to find my show, I need you to hit the like button, though. And I need you to share this broadcast out there on your favorite social media platform. We've got 4,000 people here right now in Rumble and 809 likes. If we could hit 1,000 well before we end up going off the air, so then maybe by the end we end up hitting 2,000 likes, I think that would go a long way towards helping those people find this show. Hillary Clinton has raised her ugly and horned head once again. Actually, I get Ryan Reynolds. Oh, Brian Stranigan. Ryan Reynolds or Brain Stranigan. Yeah, I could see Ryan Reynolds doing it. I'm a Deadpool fan, so I could see that. Thank you very much, Brian. Or Brain. Sorry. Thank you very, very much, Brain. So Hillary Clinton showed up at a state dinner for the Japanese prime minister. And as you can see, she's wearing this sort of Japanese kimono style muumuu. And she got roasted on social media, as she often does. She, of course, is not trying to draw attention to herself in a negative way, but obviously you take a look at Hillary Clinton and you can't help but have a negative opinion about what she's doing. And it's obviously just, she hasn't taken care of herself over the years. She's begun to fall apart. Bill Clinton continues to get skinnier, probably because he has allegedly contracted the HIV virus. Hillary Clinton, she's just kind of eating herself to death. And of course, she's got Kuru. So I don't know that she has the ability, to stop herself, but it seems like Democrat women, at the top of that, that sort of, 1% of the American oligarchy, they don't really know how to dress. You know, you've got Hillary Clinton in this silk kimono. It is a formal event. Just going to say that, like, you're not hanging out in your pajamas at home. Jill Biden, she has a habit of wearing, various types of wallpaper. And then, of course, you've got this beauty right here. This is the guy who stole luggage from women at the airport. Andre says Hillary Clinton looks like a walking sock here. She looks like a set of curtains at my grandmother's house when I was a kid. Hey, my buddy Ultra Frog. Epstein's jail cell moments after his unfortunate suicide. Oh, love it. The flying carpet from Aladdin. She looks like she stole Mrs. Roper's muumuu. Did you guys watch Three's Company? Let me see. She could be riding a camel traveling the Silk Road. Let's take a look. There we go. Yeah, she definitely could. No wonder he hasn't shagged her in 45 years. Hillary Clinton forgot to remove her bathrobe. Homer wore it better. Do you remember when Homer just gave up and got as fat as he possibly could, and then he wore a muumuu all the time? Number one Indiana Dad says, oh, my God, it's a beached whale. A beautiful Moroccan-style gown handmade by children in Haiti. Yes, that very likely could be where it's from. Oh, gosh. Okay, so you guys remember the questioning of Tony Bobulinski very recently? It was supposed to be a couple of other Hunter Biden associates and Hunter Biden himself to come in and testify before the Oversight Committee. Well, obviously, Hunter didn't show up, and a couple of other people just declined to be there. So Tony Bobulinski was pretty much the star of that show. Jamie Raskin said a couple of defamatory things about Tony Bobulinski during that questioning. And it looks like Tony is threatening him with defamation charges. I sincerely hope that he does actually bring that suit. Andre says, oh, Zach, did you see what CERN was doing the day of the eclipse with trying to find the God particle? Oh, yes. Yes, definitely did. Definitely saw that. And I also heard a rumor that a scientist at CERN died on the day of the eclipse. And I keep meaning to find some sauce about that. Let me see. Did a CERN scientist recently die? Because if he did die on the day of the eclipse, then that might have been. Yeah, look at that. Peter Higgs, Nobelist who predicted the God particle, dies at 94. Let's see. What day did he die? The 8th. Oh, my gosh. The 8th was the eclipse. His death was reported on the 9th, so I think it's reasonable to assume he died on the 8th, the day that they were looking for the God particle, and he's the guy who predicted the God particle. So was this CERN scientist sacrificed in some sort of evil satanic ritual? I don't know, but I think that's an interesting coincidence, you might say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely kind of coincidental that he died right then, at that time. Let's see. Dismiss. I don't want notifications from the Smithsonian. Died at the age of 84. Yes, he died on April 8th. He died on April 8th, the day of the freaking eclipse, the day that they spun CERN back up again. Well, you know what they say, there are no coincidences. So kind of crazy that happened. All right. But getting back to Jamie Raskin. So Jamie Raskin made comments during the questioning of Tony Bobulinski, and it is Tony Bobulinski's opinion, his legal opinion, that what was said by Jamie Raskin was defamatory. And here's the thing. Generally speaking, Congress can break the law during the course of their jobs as congressman. But there are certain circumstances where these sorts of comments do fall outside of the speech and debate clause of the Constitution. So a letter coming from Tony Bobulinski and his legal team was sent to Jamie Raskin, who is a Democrat from Maryland, and he is now being informed about his comments. He mocked various witnesses to Congress, and he also posted a freeze frame which showed Bobulinski with the chyron that said a disgruntled wannabe business partner turned Trump world hype man. Jim Kyle says, didn't Tom Hanks go to CERN recently? I'm not aware of that, but I'll look it up in a moment. Andre says, well, Zach, they were trying to open a portal to another realm. I wonder if something came out and killed him. That certainly wouldn't surprise me. I was just talking with Adel about that earlier. I mean, we know that there is celestial energy that can be harvested. Clearly, these sorts of events are scheduled based upon celestial timing, you know, the positioning of the planets and these great solar events that take place. So, yeah, I think that it was highly likely that they were trying to open up a portal, a breach to another realm, and maybe it did kill him. But it says that he died at home. So it's also possible that maybe he was killed in his home as a sacrifice for the ritual that they were doing at CERN. Or maybe they brought him there. Who knows? He was 94 years old. So not too surprised that the guy died. But the fact that he's the one who predicted the God particle and they were looking for the God particle on that very day, very strange. Very, very strange. All right. So the letter to Raskin reads, you are not entitled to any immunity for your defamatory statements. The speech and debate clause comes from Article 1, Section 6, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution, and it includes, in relevant part, for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. So that only protects the activities that are undertaken in the House and the Senate, and it provides no immunity beyond its carefully defined scope. The lawyers for Bobulinski warned Jamie Raskin, anything that is not a legislative activity will not be protected. So it warns him, your statements are derogatory falsehoods, rendering them legally actionable. Your pattern of maliciously defaming Mr. Bobulinski is well established and will not be tolerated. So they explained that they are going to be filing litigation over Jamie Raskin's public social media posts and his comments. It said, if you fail to delete and publicly retract recent defamatory statements and publications you made about Bobulinski, including on X, be further advised that you should identify and preserve all hard copy and electronically stored documents, information, and data that relate in any way to the subject matter of your incessantly malicious defamatory conduct. It was a mistake to believe that your publications were made without consequence, and it must and will stop immediately. The lawyers also cite that Jamie made these statements with malice, and that he's following a blind adherence to a preconceived narrative. I think that Tony Bobulinski has an excellent case here. Tony is an intelligent guy. He understands the letter of the law. And I think that Jamie Raskin thinks that he is above the law. So I hope that Jamie Raskin is forced to withdraw, forced to retract, forced to delete, and forced to write a big freaking check, because Tony deserves it. Mm. All right, you guys, let's see. Where are we? We have 917 likes. Keep going, guys. Keep going. Thank you very much. All right, so bit of distressing news. The Biden regime was pushing for background checks for people buying guns in private sales. Now, they have approved an expansion of that background check regime. So when you go to gun shows and if you buy a gun online, like there's a website that I use called Gun Broker. I have bought firearms privately in sales from people online. And now if you want to buy a gun in that way, then you're going to have to get another background check. You're going to have to go through it. So the rule is pretty much to be engaged in the business of selling firearms for anyone. And it extends that requirement for the background check to individuals selling guns at gun shows and online. So this is, in my opinion, another overreach by the Biden regime. They want to make it as difficult as possible for people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. The Firearm Policy Coalition is certainly going to have something to say about it. They said there's no such thing as a gun show loophole. And despite everything wrong with this despotic overreach, the ATF even makes this clear when answering the public comments of supporters. Your intentionally deceitful commentary mirrors that of history's most vile government actors. FPC is a great organization. I'm a member. Now, Merrick Garland has claimed that profitability from gun sales, irrespective of the venue, mandates licensure and background checks. Under this legislation, it will not matter if guns are sold on the internet, at a gun show, or at a brick-and-mortar store. If you sell guns predominantly to earn a profit, you must be licensed and you must conduct background checks. This regulation is a historic step in the Justice Department's fight against gun violence. No, it's just going to ensure that it will be more difficult for regular people to sell their guns legally if they own them, or to purchase guns legally as well. There is also now going to be an probably expanded scope of the background checks themselves. What are they going to be looking for now that they're going to be doing more background checks? It means that it's going to take longer. I mean, if I have a gun sent to my local gun store or I go purchase a gun there, that background check is not going to come back right away. Usually I got to come back later the next day. And sometimes, depending on the season and what's happening out in the world, it might take even longer, it might take several days. But the intention here is simply to make it more difficult for legal firearms owners to purchase additional guns. And that is clearly a problem. Yeah. F. Garland, F. JB, F. all of these dirty slime ball cesspool swamp monsters. Let me see. You guys, we're going to have to be cutting it at an hour and a half today because I've got to get some Lisa and I have some work that has to be done, and it has to be done in the sunlight. So let me jump ahead to the main story of the day, which is about Fannie Willis and the Department of Justice admitting that she's got some problems. There are some inconsistencies. You probably remember the story of a whistleblower who stepped forward to try to warn Fannie Willis about mismanagement of federal funds and grant funding. And instead of taking that warning seriously, Fannie Willis instead chose to fire that whistleblower in a blatant act of whistleblower retaliation. Now, the Justice Department on Friday says that it has unmasked inconsistencies in Fulton County Prosecutor Fannie Willis's use of federal grant funding. This is a 100% confirmation of those whistleblower allegations, and it strengthens the case of that whistleblower if she wants to go after Fannie Willis for that retaliation. Now, Willis had previously fired this individual, and the whistleblower was alleging some mismanagement of $488,000 in federal grant money. What were they using that money for? Well, they were just using it to buy whatever the hell they wanted. That included swag, computers. They were spending it on travel. As someone who has experience with grant funding, with writing grants, with the reporting on grants, those are some pretty serious allegations. They are illegal, and people have gone to prison for that sort of thing. The Washington Free Beacon's Andrew Kerr reported on this, saying it's the same grant that the Justice Department's Office of Justice Programs now says is plagued with reporting discrepancies from Willis's office. The Justice Department did not provide any further specific details on the exact nature of the reporting of these inconsistencies, but they did admit that this $488,000 grant, which was earmarked for the creation of a Center for Youth Empowerment and Gang Prevention in Atlanta, doesn't exactly line up with the mission or the intended gifting of that grant. The grant ended back in September of 2023, and wouldn't you know it, the Center for Youth Empowerment and Gang Prevention in Atlanta never ended up opening. That means they just blew nearly $500,000 on whatever the heck they wanted. Ainsley says, oh my God, Zach, I have been binging on Star Trek to avoid burnout on news. I never miss your show. I love your style and intellectual ability to bring us the news. You are awesome. I love my fellow chatters. That's great. Star Trek is a great show. And I think that it represents the good that can come from people making decisions for the right reasons. And obviously, I love the idea of traveling in space. It's something that's always been fascinating to me. Yeah. I think it's a good show to watch. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Are you watching the original Star Trek? Are you watching Star Trek The Next Generation? The Star Treks that have been on recently are just woke DEI garbage. I can't get into them. So the Justice Department, as a result of the admission of these inconsistencies, is coordinating and working with Fannie Willis's office to fix these so-called inconsistencies. Now, of course, there is an ongoing House Judiciary Committee investigation into the use of those grant funds by Fannie Willis and her office. Jim Jordan, who is the committee chairman, has subpoenaed Fannie Willis. He tried to call her in early February. He needed those records of the way that grant money was spent, nearly $500,000, $488,000. He specifically made mention of the allegations that were made by that whistleblower who was retaliated against, a woman, a staffer by the name of Amanda Timpson. She was listed as the grant director until the district attorney abruptly fired her in January of 2022. Now, Jim Jordan said in his request he will hold Fannie Willis in contempt of Congress, and he said that March 14th was the deadline. The district attorney had responded to his subpoena with a narrow set of documents, not what he had requested. And these documents, interestingly enough, had nothing to do with Timpson's whistleblower allegations. Fannie Willis essentially said, here's some paperwork, go ahead and take a look. Oops, I guess that I don't know what you want, or I don't have the time to find what you want. Willis actually wrote in response that Jim Jordan's demands were unreasonable and uncustomary, and suggested his investigation was an effort to derail her election interference case against President Trump. Now, in this Friday statement that was published by the DOJ, a spokeswoman admitted to the Washington Free Beacon these inconsistencies appear during the review of Fannie Willis's office. During our review of the award to respond to this inquiry, we have noticed some inconsistencies in what Fulton County has reported to the federal sub-award reporting system, and we are working with them to update their reporting accordingly. Let me just say this. If you lie in your reporting about the way that money was spent, or you even take that money and spend it on something that is not what the grant was intended for, you are legally liable, and you can go to prison, or you can also be held liable to repay that grant funding. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I'll give you one reason why they haven't gone after her and they haven't charged her with anything yet. I mean, it has everything to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. If they do charge Fannie Willis or demand that she repay that grant funding, she's going to claim that it's because of racism. It's not, of course, because of the mismanagement of funds. No, that would be a step too far. I also forgot to tell you, Nathan Wade is in a bad way. He had to file a brief in his recent divorce case. Remember, his wife said that he stopped paying his alimony. He stopped paying his spousal support. He stopped paying his child support. He stopped paying for her medical bills. Well, now Nathan Wade says he's flat broke now that the money spigot has turned off from Fannie Willis and, of course, the deep state that was paying his salary. He no longer has enough money to be able to pay his ex-wife for the things that he owes her. So good luck to you, Nathan Wade. Something tells me he's going to need to get another job here really quick. I also have some really good news coming out of the state of Iowa. You know how Texas had made the decision to start arresting illegal immigrants, illegal aliens? Well, now Iowa is going to be doing the exact same thing. They're following the exact path that Texas took. And Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed a bill into law yesterday that is going to allow the state to enter into the deportation location of these illegal aliens, and they'll be able to arrest them and then deny them entrance into the country. They have done it as an aggravated misdemeanor. So these illegal migrants would be subject to imprisonment for up to 2 years. She signed this bill into law just 1 day after it cleared the state legislature. She made a statement at the signing, and she said the Biden administration has failed to enforce our nation's immigration laws, putting the protection and safety of Iowans at risk. Those who come into our country illegally who have broken the law, yet Biden refuses to deport them. This bill gives Iowa law enforcement the power to do what he is unwilling to do, enforce immigration laws already on the books. So now we've got Texas, we've got Iowa, and I think every single state in the union needs to get this on the books themselves. Talk to your state legislature. Tell them that this is one of the utmost and most important things that they could possibly do. The states themselves have got to pick up the slack in the absence of action on behalf of the federal government, failing to keep our national security at the heart of everything they do, failing to enforce the laws of this country. The states themselves are going to have to be the ones to pick it up. And I love this because it's a trend that we need to see in many, many more things, not just on immigration, not just on the idea of national security. Every single state needs to be working on this kind of stuff as well. So good on you, Iowa. Good on you, Governor Reynolds. All right. So Catherine Herridge was testifying before Congress earlier today, and she made an interesting statement. She said that CBS was guilty of journalistic rape after they seized her records and files following her departure. You'll probably remember that Herridge recently was fired along with 800 or so other staffers from CBS. They were forced to lay off a vast number of people in their news department and across the entire company. She was the subject of a First Amendment legal fight at the time of her departure because she was refusing to disclose her sources for a number of investigative pieces that she wrote for Fox News back in 2017. This was about a federal probe into Yan-Pin Chen. He is a Chinese-American scientist. He ended up suing the federal government for allegedly leaking private information to Catherine Herridge. So CBS seized her computers. They took all of her records. They took all of her files and they locked her out of her email upon informing her of this upcoming layoff. And she did eventually receive them back. But staffers sounded the alarm on the alleged actions to Jonathan Turley, saying that they had never seen such a seizure before. So who was it? Who was it that was looking to gain this information? Well, this was back in 2017. That would have been during the Trump administration. This is a Chinese-American scientist. Could it have been that people within the Trump administration gave Catherine Herridge the information so she could do the reporting? And now it's the Biden regime who is basically putting the pressure on CBS to seize her documents so that they can know who within the Trump administration was giving good information about Chinese spies potentially operating within the shores of the United States. So Catherine confirmed to Jim Jordan earlier today that her position was terminated after she reported facts that painted Joe Biden's administration in a negative light. This is definitely coming straight from the top. I just want to be clear, Congressman, wherever you look, if this happens to you, it's an attack on the free press. It's an attack on the First Amendment. It makes it more challenging for reporters to work in the future. This disrupts the free flow of information to the public. They call journalism a profession for a reason, because it's about an informed electorate, and it's a cornerstone for our democracy. I can only speak for myself. When my records were seized, I felt it was a journalistic rape. Jim Jordan said that should scare us, too. The first time it ever happened, and it happens to an award-winning journalist who's been in the profession for many years, known all across the profession, and that happens on the heels of what happened to Miss Atkinson. Cheryl Atkinson testified as well, because both journalists were critical of the government. She was critical of the Obama regime. This is exactly what journalism is about, being critical of the government when the government's doing things wrong, and then to have a major news organization or the government itself do this. I think it's very clear that people like us, people who are speaking the truth, journalists who are willing to be critical of a regime that is currently in power, they are the number one threat. Because the free flow of information is where all of that danger lies. The exposure of these crimes, the exposure of that failed and corrupt establishment. This is why they canceled us on social media. This is why they had liberal rags like Media Matters or even the Washington Post or the New York Times write articles about us trying to get us to stop. This is why they went to the social media companies and got our accounts shut down, because they can't do it themselves. It's against the law, because this is about the First Amendment. So they put that onus onto these private organizations who make the decisions and actually take the actions for them. They try to stop the flow of information, but there is something, again, called the Streisand effect. That Streisand effect means that people look at what's happening and they recognize that this is a subject of paramount importance. We've got to keep talking about it, because without that flow of information from us to them, well, then they're the only ones, the deep state, they're the only ones who end up delivering that information, and quite often it's going to be fake news. All right, you guys, we're going to have to cut it there. Let me say thank you very much to Who Cares. He says, I show she filed to change her name in 2022 to Stormy Daniels Barrett. Okay, well, so maybe she got married or something. Asty Ball, thank you for the cookie. Empress, to you, thank you for the cookie. Sean Joe, thank you for the three cookies. I really appreciate it. All right, you guys, looks like we might have just hit 1,000 likes. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you don't mind, please, before you leave, hit that like button. I'm going to go ahead and pass out these gold pills. And don't forget to join me right here tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern for a special edition of Red Pill News Live with a brand new General Flynn interview and the premiere of the backstage behind the scenes documentary of the world premiere of Flynn, the movie. Here goes the gold pills. Thank you so much, everyone. Oh, thank you to Tattooed Teacher for joining as a monthly supporter. Thank you to Jixer Trickster for also joining as a monthly supporter. And I just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. I didn't. All right. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for your generous support. Thank you for helping me to stay online and continue to bring you guys this information. I have a couple of bombshell interviews that are coming up here in the near future, and I hope that you will be there to enjoy them with me. And make sure you're following me on all the social media profiles at RedPill78. You can check out my website at RedPill78News.com. I'm also on a bunch of other shows, but, you know, you'll find those, I'm sure. Until next time, good luck. God bless. I will see you here tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern.